This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We'll start off on this Friday morning with your commodities from the Chicago Board of Trade. Corn for December finished lower at 372, down 2 1/4. March corn finished lower as well at 382 3/4, down 1 1/2. And May corn was lower as well at 390, down 1 1/4. Soybeans finished lower. January finished at 909 1/2, down 4. March soybeans finished at 922, down 3 1/2. And May soybeans finished at 934 1/2, down 3 3/4. Chicago wheat for December finished at 505 1/4, down 9 1/4. March Chicago wheat finished at 515 1/2, down 2 1/2. And May wheat finished at 521, down 2 1/4. Soybean meal for December finished at $310 even, down 19 cents. January soybean meal finished at $312.20, down 17 cents. And March soybean meal finished at $315.50, down 16 cents. Soybean oil for December finished at $28.47, down 10 cents. January soybean oil finished at $28.71, down 13 cents. And March soybean oil finished at $28.95, down 10 cents. We'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the latest cash grain reports from yesterday.
This is Thursday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Thursday afternoon as markets are anxiously awaiting an announcement of Chinese grain purchases. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to a penny lower at 335 to 364. Soybean bids were down 6 to 8 cents at 828 to 847. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 cents lower at 338 to 361. Soybean bids were down 2 to 3 cents at 846 to 889. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were a penny lower at 342 to 373. Soybean bids were down 6 cents at 840 to 871. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 4 cents lower at 868 to 895, with basis unchanged at 4200 to 1500 the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 290.20 to 306.20, down $1.70 a ton, with basis steady at 2200 to 600 the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 2 cents lower at 360 to 375, with basis unchanged at 2300 to 800 the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted to produce the corn bids 3 to 7 cents lower at 363 to 368, with basis down 1 to 5 at 2000 to 1500 the March. Soybeans ended down 8 to 9 cents at 855 to 864, with basis down 4 to 5 at 5500 to 4600 the January. New crop wheat prices were down 2 cents at 491 to 501, with basis steady to 3500 to 2500 the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 2 to 3 cents lower at 386 to 387. Their soybean prices are mostly 3 cents lower, with quotations at 884 to 888. Soft wheat closed mixed at 540 to 541, and Milo ended the day down a penny at 387 to 388. Contract bids for producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 339 to 365 and soybeans at 824 to 859. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 343 to 365, soybeans at 850 to 889. And in the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 350 to 381, soybeans at 847 to 878. And June, July wheat at 481 to 519. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On to your livestock numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Live cattle finished lower, with December finishing at 117.95, down 35 cents. February live cattle finished at 121.80, down 57 cents. And April live cattle finished at 123.47, down 40 cents. On to feeder cattle for January. It finished at 144.20, down $1.27. March feeder cattle finished at 141.95, down $1.10. And April feeder cattle finished at 142.52, down $1.35. Lean hogs for December finished at 54.52, down $1.32. For February, they finished at 66.90, down 85 cents, and April lean hogs finished at 71.27, down 85 cents. We'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture one more time today for your latest cash livestock report.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday afternoon's livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 3 cents lower in a range of $44 to $48.52, with the weighted average carcass price of $47.52. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, solder sow prices are a dollar lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 23 to 32, 4 to 500 pounds at 26 to 35, 5 to 600 pounds at 29 to 38, over 600 pounds at 32 to 40. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and gelts at the country buying points are steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from 28 to 35. Receipts for Illinois barrows and gelts have totaled $25,020. In the direct cattle trade, from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $115 and on a dress basis traded at $183. Heifers on a live basis traded at $113 and on a dress basis traded at $183. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 357 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $72.12, which was 42 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $212.67, which was 59 cents lower, with select carcasses at $198.22, which was $1.36 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 121,000 compared to 120,000 for last week and 120,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 471,000 compared to 474,000 for last week and 465,000 for 1 year ago. Today we also have the Schuyler Livestock Auction results. Total receipts of 449 compared to 2 weeks ago. Slaughter steers and heifers sold 3 to 350 higher. Slaughter bulls traded steady. Slaughter cattle sold mostly 3 to 5 lower. Trade was active with good demand on slaughter cattle and moderate on feeder cattle. Slaughter steers choice 2 to 4 sold in a range of 110.50 to 116.25. Slaughter heifers choice 2 to 4 sold in a range of 110 to 116. Slaughter cows with average dressing breakers sold in a range of 45 to 55.25. Boners sold in a range of 42 to 52.50. Lean sold in a range of 34 to 42. Slaughter bulls sold in a range of 60 to 70. Feeder steers large 1-2, 7 head with an average weight of 482 and an average price of 161.22. 2 head with an average weight of 580 and an average price of 142. 9 head with an average weight of 672 and an average price of 122.75. 1 head with a weight of 775 and a price of 110. Feeder heifers large 1-2, 13 head with an average weight of 451 and an average price of 134.69. 3 head with an average weight of 562 and an average price of 122.32. 3 head with an average weight of 682 and an average price of 100. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Starting with national news here in part 2, in the Chinese trade war, China appears to be getting ready to follow through on commitments it made with the White House in a short-term trade bargain with the U.S. Politico calls it a potentially encouraging sign for U.S. ag producers. A Chinese government official said the two countries reached an agreement in sectors like agriculture, autos, and energy. U.S. President Donald Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping reached a short-term trade truce during discussions in Buenos Aires. Politico quotes a Bloomberg report saying Beijing officials are preparing to resume importing products like soybeans and liquefied natural gas. That appears to confirm White House statements that China will begin buying more American farm goods immediately. It's not known for sure, though, if China will drop its retaliatory tariffs on soybeans and other commodities, or possibly compensate customers. It also is unclear yet when promised purchasing will begin. In another positive sign for the long-term discussions, China also announced new punishments for IP theft. That's one of the central disputes the U.S. hopes to resolve through further negotiations over the next 3 months. As all beef producers know, planning is critical in the fight against bovine respiratory disease. Michael Clements has this report.
Bovine respiratory disease, commonly known as pneumonia or shipping fever, is a costly disease for cattle and producers. But implementing a number of practices to properly manage BRD can help mitigate those losses. Dr. Peggy Thompson, professional services veterinarian at Boehringer Ingelheim, discusses more about the disease and what causes it.
Bovine respiratory disease, I would say, is one of the most important diseases we fight in the cattle industry. And so those cattle are going to show symptoms of pneumonia. And if they're sick, they're certainly not going to be gaining weight. They're going to be focused on fighting the disease. Bovine respiratory disease is caused by viruses, be caused by bacteria, or usually that's a combination of both. And certainly stress, weather changes, poor nutrition, anything like that could also lead to bovine respiratory disease.
She says producers should watch for the warning signs of BRD.
Some quick and easy things to look at are just their attitude, how their ears are placed. If they've got droopy ears, that might be a sign. Certainly any sort of nasal discharge or weepy, watery eyes. Coughing would be a symptom. And just overall, we call ADR, ain't doing right. They probably have a fever, so you can just tell they feel bad, and they're probably not coming up to the feed bunk as often.
Fortunately for producers, there are ways to minimize the risk of the disease.
The most common time we see issues is post-weaning. So since viruses and bacteria can cause issues with that, if we can use vaccines to help prevent those viruses, getting those vaccines into those cattle before weaning, main goal would be 3 to 4 weeks prior to weaning, so they can create immune response so that when they go through weaning and they get exposed to these diseases, whether it's at weaning or as soon as they leave the operation, they've got some protection on board.
Thompson says working with your veterinarian can help create the best prevention and treatment plan for your operation.
I would recommend producers working with their local veterinarians to help them design the best vaccine and deworming protocol they can to go along with their preconditioning program, and then also keeping that vet involved if they do have sick cattle, knowing exactly what the plan is on how to treat them.
Learn more at bi-vetmedica.com. Michael Clements reporting.
In state news from the pork producers, as part of the 10th anniversary of Pork Power, partnering to fight hunger in Illinois campaign, the Illinois pork producers, along with the Illinois Corn Marketing Board and the Illinois Soybean Association checkoff program, presented the Midwest Food Bank with 10,000 pounds of ground pork. Since its inception in 2008, Pork Power has generated over 625,000 pounds of pork, enough for nearly 2.4 million meals for families throughout Illinois. Farmers and partnering commodity groups give pork and monetary donations all year round. At the end of each giving season, the IPPA turns the remaining funds into ground pork and divides it among the regional food banks in the state. In another pork-producing story, Illinois continued to show their unwavering support for the city of Taylorville on Wednesday, after the area was devastated by an EF3 tornado. As volunteers continued cleaning up the debris left behind, the Mid-Illinois pork producers of Montgomery and Christian counties stepped up to the plate to make sure that they were well fed. The pork producers donated 300 pork chops so people could make sandwiches. They had a station set up at the Christian County Fairgrounds so volunteers could come take a break from their cleanup efforts. There were also people out delivering meals to crews that were working. The pig farmers in the area just wanted to be able to provide a hot meal for the volunteers that have come from all over the Midwest, Montgomery County hog farmer Phil Borgic said. We're just happy to be able to help and give them all a hot meal. Borgic also said that he's left the door open to the community, letting them know that if they call the Mid-Illinois pork producers again, they'll be there to provide a hot meal for the volunteers. Taylorville's Mayor Bruce Berry says that he anticipates 300 to 400 more volunteers to come out and help clean up efforts this weekend. Just a few days ago, WSMI's Randy Prangy had a short interview with Mark Sorrells, the son of Earl Sorrells of Raymond. Mark talks about the late autumn crop planting season in New York State, where he resides.
You know, I work at Cornell University,
right,
up in upstate New York, and I develop new varieties of oats, wheat, and barley for the northeast region of the U.S. And, well, you know, it was a pretty challenging fall planting season for us. We had so much rain, and that our winter wheat and winter barley got in late, and then 2 days after we stopped planting, it snowed on it. So we've got about 8 or 10 inches of snow on the ground in central New York.
That's no good for those crops, is it, though?
That's pretty tough on them, yeah. We don't know how they're going to survive the winter, but we won't know until April.
The barley that's raised up there, what is it used for?
Mainly for malting and brewing. New York State has over 400 breweries, where we have the fourth most breweries of any state in the United States. So we have a lot of breweries, and they need barley to make good beer.
And well, the winter wheat that's raised up there that you work with, is that similar to what's grown around here?
Well, I think so. We grow soft wheat, and I think you do too.
Right.
Mainly used for cookies and cakes and pastries and donuts and all those things we like to eat.
That's right. All the things we don't really need this time of year, but we have a lot of.
Yeah. Dad's enjoying some cinnamon rolls here this morning from Jubelt.
Well, that's why you're on. He has to finish up his cinnamon rolls first, right?
Well, he sure does like those. So I've been at Cornell for about 40 years, and it's a great place to work. I've got 6 graduate students and 3 technicians that help me with the field work, and so it's a pretty busy place for doing agricultural research. We have a number of agricultural scientists there at Cornell, and agriculture is the second most important business in New York State. So we get a lot of agriculture work up there.
Mark, does Cornell have their own like test plots and variety plots that you work with?
Sure do. We have about 300 acres of experimental farms that we do research on, and some of them are scattered around the state, some in northern New York, some in western and eastern New York, but most of my research is within about 5 miles of the Cornell campus.
And you do a lot with the soils up there, too, I suspect, right?
We have a pretty sizable soils department. The Northeast, as you may know, is highly variable in soil types. And even some of our really small fields will have 3 or 4 or even 5 different soil types. So it's complicated, but it's a great place to study soils.
Again, that was WSMI's Randy Prangy with Raymond native Mark Sorrells of Cornell University. That's all we have for this Friday morning. This has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.